what components analysis. And we combined all of the data that we collected in the field into 10 variables. There were 5 natural or non-crop variables, which included forested habitat, grasslands, riparian, open water, and urban. Our crop variables were corn, soybean, wheat, and other crops, which was all the other crops combined. We also calculated overall landscape diversity using Simpson's Diversity Index, and that's the D here on this graph. And we were able to interpret the first 3 principal components. Principal component 1 is here along this x-axis, and you can see that landscapes that loaded very positively on this principal component were very diverse landscapes with an abundance of forested habitat and open water, such as this landscape here. While landscapes that loaded negatively on principal component 1 were dominated by corn and soybean. And here's an example. I think that the landscape probably does affect soybean aphid. I think it might be a scale issue. We were looking relatively small scales, and it may be that soybean aphid actually responds at a larger spatial scale. I also think because the insect uses both a agricultural habitat as its summer feeding area and a buckthorn, which would mainly be in forested habitats, it's kind of responding to 2 different landscape components. And I've done some work looking at breakpoints and maybe a nonlinear relationship between non-crop habitat and soybean aphid, and it sort of is most abundant in landscapes that have equal proportions of forested and soybean habitat. But I haven't quite fleshed that out yet. Yes?
Have you looked at any other aphids in the landscape? They initially draw in the cotton elephant and then move out into soybeans?
That's a good question. Have we considered any other aphid species? And we haven't. So far, this work has just been conducted in soybean, and we've only looked at soybean aphid and its predators. Thank you very much.
Face-to-face training, driving to as many as 12 counties a year, and all the different specialists, and of course that's a lot of time and money and effort, a lot of windshield time as some people would call it. In 1987, we took the model of our Iowa pesticide applicator training program, and we began using the satellite from the campus TV station, the satellite uplink to our county extension office. And the pesticide applicator training program had installed a huge dish and a receiver and a TV set in every county extension office, and we were able to glum onto that system and begin teaching by satellite. And when I say I learned to stop worrying and love distance education, not until I was putting this presentation together did I realize how long ago we had made that transition, that we made the decision back then to continue to use campus faculty and staff rather than turn the teaching over to county extension offices, some who could have done it, some who would not have. But we continued to use campus-based facilities and campus-based specialists to do the training through a one-way communication. Satellite is you shoot the message up 35,000 miles and it comes back down to the TV receiver in the county extension office. And if they wanted to contact us and ask a question, they got on the phone and dialed our number and they talked to us over the phone as they watched their TVs. The Iowa Board of Regents in their wisdom saw the TV station as a cash cow. And in the late 80s, it was, in the 1990s, it was sold for $13 million, which is long gone. We had the asset of the TV station on campus. Channel 5, the ABC affiliate, used to be the Iowa State University station. And they sold that for a bag of silver, which disappeared somewhere. So the satellite, because it was now not university owned TV, it became increasingly expensive, and so we began looking for an alternative, and at the same time the Iowa State Legislature came up with about $30 million to bury fiber optic cable across the state along the interstate highway. And in 1992 the Iowa Communications Network was created, and it's a statewide fiber optic network that links 758 classrooms in real-time, two-way, high-speed video exchange. It's also our university long-distance telephone company, but we don't talk about that because that would sound like competition with private industry. So we began using this fiber optic system by going to a classroom on campus and talking to up to 15 other counties at a time. It says 30 counties per year, but we teach twice a year, as I'll tell you in a little bit. So we were limiting the number of classrooms that we could connect because of our concerns of the technology, and it would shut off at odd times and so forth like that. But it did give us this fiber optic two-way communication that we could look into office into county classrooms, and they could see us and we could see them, and we could talk back and forth. And then sooner or later, somebody would put their big old workbook down on the microphone that locks the system to the county extension office, and we wouldn't be able to talk until they moved their workbook off of the microphone. It had its problems, and the problems increased. The system got older, there was less upkeep in it, and we had some counties that were looking for seats for up to 60 people, and they would go to an armory, and of course in 2001, you know, armories became difficult to get into. They would go to schools, and on Tuesday night when we were doing our training, there may be a basketball game, so parking wasn't available. We were using someone else's site. We were using these classrooms around the state. So in 2003, because of lots of reasons, we did go to web-based video conferencing with the purchase of Iowa State University to buy Macromedia Breeze software. Macromedia Breeze, as you know, was later purchased by the Adobe people, and it's now known as Adobe Registered Trademark, Acrobat Registered Trademark, Connect Trademark. So it is web-based conferencing, and it does allow us to present live meetings over the internet. And we limited the number of counties that could be on the Iowa Communications Network because we were worried about the technology crashing all the time. This system works very well, and we have taken off the limits of how many counties can participate, and we now do 40 to 50 counties per year. We used to have this minimum of 15 students per class. If your county couldn't come up with 15 students, you would not be a class. We've now lowered that to 6, that if you get 6 people together, I know to some of you states, 6 people doesn't sound like a lot, but of those 100 counties in Iowa, there are some of those counties that have a population of only 5,000 people. Some of those counties can only come up with 6 people every second or third year to do the training. But the advantage is they do it in their local facility using equipment that was already in place. Iowa State University Extension purchased and installed T1 internet connections to every county extension office. And so we have this high-speed internet access into every county. It was already there. We just started using it sort of after it was already there. If you've not done an Adobe Connect or a Breeze program, this is one way it can look. You create a meeting screen of these different pods, and you make them any size and shape, and you put them wherever you want. We settled on this, that we would put the speaker kind of in a small picture up in the corner so that they would at least see the person talking. The PowerPoint presentation takes up almost all of the space. There is a chat pod where the coordinator at the county office types the questions. The presenter sees those questions come up on the screen, decides to ignore them, put them off till later, or stop right then and answer the question. There is a list of who all's online that we choose to have there as well, and we always have that technical assistance number available for them. We use Adobe Connect as one way. We send a signal to them, and they can chat back to us. They do not send video and audio back to us, and this is called maximizing the bandwidth, which makes no sense to me, but the pipe is only so big, and we are cramming the pipe outbound with as much video and audio signal as we can get to them. And we're letting a little signal trickle back in the way of chat. And what that does is it makes the audio signal out big, so they hear it better. You don't get the breakup where someone is talking and then they pick later on and the video doesn't jerk as much under those situations. So that was a decision we made. They do not talk to us, we do not see them, but they communicate very freely and frequently by way of the chat. So this is how it works for us, and this is all flexible, and you can make this work however you want. In Iowa, we've trained 8,500 master gardeners in nearly all of our 99 counties. There are 100 county extension offices, but only 99 counties. Yes, it takes some explanation. Right now, we are